in general society, if people think of God, and probably most of the time they don't, I imagine that mostly the God that they picture, the God that they imagine, is more like the Force from Star Wars. It's this vague kind of thing somewhere out there. And for most people, heaven is kind of a nice category because heaven definitely isn't here. Heaven is somewhere else. Somewhere up in the sky is often where people imagine it to be. And so God in that essence, God in that understanding, isn't part of our normal reality. God is distant. God is absent. If you like, God is the watchmaker, the one who set everything in motion but has now stepped away and allowed us just to get on with our lives. Some famous atheists have declared that that's the best place for God to be, somewhere else. You know, they don't want a God to be involved in our lives, to be watching over us. The now departed Christopher Hitchens once said that, "I don't want to live in North Korea. I don't want to live in a place where there's this big brother watching me, watching all that I do, overseeing everything that I think and feel." But of course, this conception of God is so distant, is so foreign to the witness of the Scriptures, to what we see in biblical revelation and the revelation that the church has constantly taught across the centuries. There we discover a God who is close, a God who draws near to us, a God who wants to be part of our lives, not as a big brother, not watching, not observing, not waiting to pounce on us if we put a foot out of line, but a God who is tender and compassionate. We see this first today in our first reading from the book of Numbers. There the Lord addresses himself to Moses and gives Moses this direction concerning teaching for Aaron and his son, so the priests. We know already that the Lord had asked not just the Aaronic priesthood, not just a certain class within Jewish society to be the priests. The Lord has addressed himself to the whole nation and said, "You are to be a kingdom of priests." He wants all of them to be involved in the work of the priesthood. But the specific task that is given here is this task of being a blessing. And just as we often turn to the Gospel of Luke or the Gospel of Matthew where we read the Lord's Prayer and we say, well, that's the place where our Lord Jesus taught us to pray, taught us the way of prayer. People say, well, we need to go to number 6 to understand the theology of blessing, to understand what it means when God says, you are to bless in this way. And we see there when the instruction is given, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord let his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his face to you and give you his peace. So there are these 6 elements in this blessing. The Lord bless you. It's God who does the blessing. It's God who is the one who is the protector. So he is the one who is to keep. May the Lord shine his face upon you. That's not the face of an enemy. It's not the face of observation and trying to catch us out. The face that shines upon us is the face of love, the face of devotion. One of the reasons I'm sure that our Lord came as a little child, as a helpless little baby, is the effect that a baby has on us. Just before Christmas, a couple of friends of mine had their first child down in Wollongong. So I went down to Wollongong Hospital to visit them. And just the delight that I saw on their faces, the delight I'm sure that was on my face in seeing this 2-day-old son, in being able just to see the tiny, delicate features of this child, letting his face be shone upon me and be gracious to you. You know, God doesn't want to punish. God wants to pour out His grace and peace, His mercy, His blessing upon us. And the sense of lift your face, it's the idea of a father reaching down to pick up a child so that the two faces may be close to each other. That sense of the faces that are in a certain intimacy. That's the way that God wants to be with us. It's kind of nice that a dad just happened to pick up his child and wrap him in his arms as I was speaking and give you his peace. This is the way that our God wants to be with us. Religion and Christianity is not about us doing all of these things. It's about God doing all of these things, seeking us out, longing to be with us. The quest that God undertakes to find us, to be with us. Across the pages of the Old Testament, we saw that people were afraid of the face of God. They were afraid that they would be judged, that they would be punished, that indeed they would die if the face of God would behold them. But when we come to the New Testament, when we come to the Gospels, the scene is completely turned around. When we read from the Gospel of Luke tonight, there are three things that I want to highlight in that account. The first is that the shepherds, when they hear about the coming of the child Jesus, when the angels declare this truth to them, what do? Our scriptures say they hurried to be with the child. They went in haste. That sense of hurrying, we also read it back in Luke chapter 1, when Mary heard that her kinswoman Elizabeth was with child. She hurried to be with her. This sense of hurrying, of going with haste, is a powerful indicator of being in the right place. So often we just sit still. So often we don't do anything. So often we know what God is calling us to do, and we stay still. We stay caught up just in our laziness or in our indecision or just in procrastination. But our God says no. Sometimes we have to go in haste. Sometimes we have to hurry. Once we know what it is that God calls us to do, then go in haste. Hurry to be with the Lord Jesus. And then when they come to the scene, when they gather around there in the house, we're told that everyone was astonished by what they saw. Sometimes we can just see very natural and ordinary things and be overwhelmed by their beauty. Some people experience God in a very natural scenes, you know, the scene of a mountain or going to the top of a lookout or seeing an ocean scene or seeing a sunrise or a sunset. But sometimes we need to be astonished. Sometimes we need to have that sense of, oh my gosh, that is just incredible. That is a powerful thing. Sometimes our faith will break through in from the ordinary into the extraordinary. So perhaps this year we are called to go in haste to find those places where we can once again be astonished, where we can once again experience the wonder of being in the very presence of God. And the third and final thing is what Our Lady then does with these mysteries. We're told that she ponders them and she holds them as a treasure in her heart. If we can indeed allow the Lord to bless us, if we can indeed this year receive the blessing that God pours upon us, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord shine His face upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift His face to you and give you His peace. If we can experience all of that, if we know that truth, then let's hurry. Let's go to be with those people that the Lord sends us to be with. Let's go to share this good news with others. Let's be astonished by the wonders and beauty of what God is doing. And let's often return in prayer before the child Jesus. Let's allow the face of love to look upon us. Let's allow that to stir our hearts, to ponder those truths, to allow those gifts to be in the depths of who we are, so that we're changed by the power of what God has already done in us. But what God wants to do with us this year is astonishing.